Good afternoon. Welcome to Cross Currents. I'm Carolyn Heldman. On today's show, PEAK, Partnering in Education and Aid for Kenya, with the co-founder of the organization, Debbie Weldon. She, along with Jane Keener Quiet, the former pastor at Aspen Community Church, have brought Isaac Soita, the executive director of Running Water International, to the United States. Running Water International is an international organization with local leadership and management in Kenya. Soita traveled here to raise awareness for the program. In full disclosure, Debbie Weldon is the underwriting sales director at Aspen Public Radio. I asked her to describe how she got involved.
My first trip to Meru was in 2008 when I went on a trip led by a woman from Denver by the name of Anne Fort. And I fell in love with Kenya and with the Kenyan people and knew I wanted to go back. And with another friend and partner, we established PEAK, which stands for Partnering in Education and Aid for Kenya. And we began to lead teams to Kenya, which we've been doing now since 2010. And a big priority for our work has been clean water systems, but we've also provided 3 libraries and school latrines, school furniture. We refurbished a preschool. We've worked with HIV/AIDS groups and a number of other things. But clean water certainly is a big, big key to what we do.
How many times have you gone now?
7.
The Aspen Community Church got involved when Debbie went the first time. That would be in 2008 when
Correct.
Two people went. And then within 2 years, we had another trip that, some 15 people joined Debbie and Rich in traveling to Meru to work on some projects.
If we can't be there all the time, so we have partners who are on the ground and doing work and keeping things going that we communicate with through Skype and Facebook and emails and phone calls. And so the work is ongoing even when we're not there. But in addition, in the last 3 years, we've also added an area called Samburu where we're doing work in 2 women's villages. They are called Umoja and Unity, and they are women's villages that are safe haven for women who are victims of domestic abuse. So we've been doing some work there and in some of the schools also in that area.
Debbie, I remember one time you going, and we, all of us here at Aspen Public Radio, brought books in, and you took a lot of school books, and then it pivoted. As you said, you do a lot of things there, but one of the main initiatives is clean water. And we'll turn to that in just a second. But can you explain how that evolved?
How water evolved?
Mm-hmm.
One of the main things that we try to do when we partner with the people in Kenya is find out what their needs are and what their desires are. And when we met with Bishop William Muriuki of the Methodist Church of Kenya, who was the presiding bishop in the Kaga Synod at the time, we said, what do you need? What's the most important need? And he said, a water tank. So that's when we decided to, that was our first major project as our team, was to build a water tank. And also adding on to that, of course, is not just the water tank, but a means by providing the water to be clean and pure. So we do biosand filters and hand washing stations throughout the school compound, as well as safe water storage containers where the children can get a drink of clean water anytime during the day. And to top all of that off is just WASH training. WASH stands for water, sanitation, and hygiene. And this is a way to teach the people how to access clean water, use clean water in every aspect of their lives, cooking, cleaning, drinking, but also emphasizing sanitation, hand washing, and hygiene, and all of these kinds of facilities that go along with that in schools and in homes and actually throughout their daily lives.
Isaac, are you from Meru?
No. I come from Nakuru, that is the headquarter of Rift Valley.
How far away?
It should be 5 hours drive, more than 280 kilometers.
When you were growing up as a child, were there water problems for you?
Yep, it was. One thing you need to understand, Kenya is one of the countries in developing countries. It falls under developing countries, and therefore, water, as you know, we have a global water challenge in developing countries. So it is an issue, a big issue, when it comes to the society, whereby people will walk very long distances to get water. And basically, in African culture, mostly this burden is left to women and girls, and therefore, or else little boys. So this was one of the major challenges that I had to go. I used to go like around 5 kilometers to get water in small jerrycans, 2, 5, 5. So you'll have to spend like four to five hours getting 10 liters of water.
So along a stick with cans on either side?
No, you just need to hold
a
jerrycan from both hands. So to school. That's what I grew up doing.
Right.
Yeah, it's a big challenge. And then when I was like around 7 or 8 years, we made a simple, traditional kind of wheelbarrow. This is where we get bearing from old cars.
Hmm.
And then you put some stick in, connect it, and then you push. That's when you, so that you can be able to get like at least 20
more
liters.
Right.
Yes, once you go. So you will cover the same distance, but then you'll have to come back at least with 20 liters.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Carolyn Heldman. My guests today are Debbie Weldon. She's a founder of PEAK, Partnering in Education and Aid for Kenya, along with the previous pastor of the Aspen Community Church and a member of the PEAK group, Jane Keener Quiet, and Isaac Soita. He's the executive director of Running Water International, based in Nakuru, Kenya. As the acting ED of Running Water International, Isaac continues to apply the model as a water, sanitation, and hygiene service provider for schools in Meru, Kenya, in partnership with both local and international partners, including the Methodist Church in Kenya, PEAK, and Rotary Club of Meru, supported by Rotary Clubs in the United States. In full disclosure, Debbie Weldon is the underwriting sales director at Aspen Public Radio. How did the connection happen?
We had heard of two young women who, as graduate students at Colorado State University, had been in Kenya a few years before, and as a graduate project, they established this company, Running Water International, and it was sort of a pilot project to see how this could be accomplished, and they were creating these biosand filters that filter the water and pretty much remove about 98% of all the pathogens, and they hired Isaac as an intern. They found him through some other connections, and he was their intern. And he did such a good job that when they left, they hired him on as the director, and he's been taking the ball and run with it in a large, large way. So he's now the executive director of Running Water International.
So Running Water International was started up by these two young women from Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're now the executive director of that?
Yes.
Okay, and how many villages or towns do you help?
Mostly in most part of the country. It depends with the contact of people whom I come across. One is actually it has been to develop network. Basically, I do facilitate WASH training. This is water and sanitation trainings for community-based organizations in Kenya. And therefore, through that connection, I'll get some villages that will be interested with the technology. At the same time, through the trainings that we conduct in some institutions. So I'll not say like 3 or 4 villages, mm-hmm. but they are many because I've been to Kisumu. This is the western part of the country. I'm in Rift Valley with several more than 6 villages that they are benefiting from this. I've been in Kisii, which is Nyanza part, and now I'm in eastern part of the country, which is Meru, and it is environs.
How do you get the funding for the necessary infrastructure?
Basically, one of the things that has been unique about Running Water is actually the model that we are using. One, it's not easy to get funding for the project because not very many people would like to fund social entrepreneurship. And the reason why we developed that, when we were doing research on the philanthropic project against the hybrid kind of model, all the filters that were given free in the community, they were not being used.
Why?
I tend to think personally it is because maybe they were given. There was no attachment. There was no ownership.
They were just
given for free. It's mm-hmm. like when somebody gives you a shirt, you didn't buy it, right? So when you are going over the fence, if it is hooked up, you don't care because you didn't feel the pain of buying it.
You don't value it as much.
So the same thing happens when you give things for free in the community. Nobody wants to take care of it. But when you give them and then they have ownership, maybe contributing something little in it, they feel like they own the project. And therefore, that was the hybrid model that we came up with. And that has been one of the challenges that we get in the community. It's because we need partners to come in. We have the technology ourselves, but we don't have money to fund the projects in the community. So the community may be willing to chip in, but then they do not have the capacity to do it. So that's how we develop partnership. And maybe through some of the partners we have, like PEAK, Rotary International, they have been supporting the program. We have been implementing the project on behalf of PEAK and Rotary International in the community. And at the same time, we act as a go-between between the community and the donor. So it's very tricky when it comes to that question. You can't say really that we have these specific donors that are on the ground, but then it has been like a kind of a partnership between different partners or stakeholders.
Once you identify that this is the problem, you need them, the villagers, to take ownership of the program for it to be successful.
Yes.
Do you then identify a particular person or a couple people to monitor it and almost work with you to keep it going?
Yes. It will be very interesting maybe you to learn that one thing we do is actually baseline assessment of the community needs. You may be surprised. Some other community will go there, you think water is the priority. It's not the priority.
Hmm.
It may be food is the priority. Right. It may be health, medical facility is the priority for this community. So we need to find out what is the priority need for this community.
If that's the case, and if it's not water, how do you help? Or do you just move on to another place?
And that's where the network comes in.
Okay.
We have other partners whom are not working on water, but they're working maybe on health. So that's where we connect them to this community. And that's how also as an organization, we are connected to some communities or some villages in Kenya, because they know we are doing this, but they're not doing that. We have kind of we are actually coming up with kind of a specialization. I'll say like running water has been more of specialized in water treatment, sanitation improvement, rainwater harvesting, that is water supply, and also doing the piping of water, maybe from the point of source to the point of consumption. So that's what we'll say. When we do the one thing when you do is like when you do the baseline survey, that's when we learn what is the priority need for this community, so that we just don't get there, do the work, and then at the end of the day we have a giant elephant sleeping there, not assisting anybody. So that has been one of the things that we do. And two is community mobilization, because we may not appease everybody in the community. But through mobilization, this is a process whereby we educate the community what are the needs, what are the responsibility of the community members, the donors, and even the implementers. So when you bring all these people, integrating them together, it's a process for them to appreciate exactly what they expect from us, what we don't do, and what we do.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Carolyn Heldman. My guests today are Debbie Weldon. She's a founder of PEAK, Partnering in Education and Aid for Kenya, along with the previous pastor of the Aspen Community Church and a member of the PEAK group, Jane Keener Quiet, and Isaac Soita. He's the executive director of Running Water International, based in Nakuru, Kenya. As the acting ED of Running Water International, Isaac continues to apply the model as a water, sanitation, and hygiene service provider for schools in Meru, Kenya, in partnership with both local and international partners, including the Methodist Church in Kenya, PEAK, and Rotary Club of Meru, supported by Rotary Clubs in the United States. In full disclosure, Debbie Weldon is the underwriting sales director at Aspen Public Radio. Jane, you're no longer the pastor at Aspen Community Church, but are you still involved in this project?
I haven't been involved in too much that PEAK has been doing in the last couple of years, other than supporting it when there's the opportunity to do that. I've been to Kenya twice, you know, for the projects. And interestingly enough, it started when I just looked at a list of mission opportunities for the United Methodist Church in our conference, and I brought back a list of a few of them, and I said, "Is anybody interested in some of this?" And two people looked at the Meru project and said, "We want to go." And
And that's how it all started.
That's how it started.
That's how it all started.
I see in a lot of the materials also, Debbie, on PEAK and on Running Water International, that Rotary is mentioned frequently. Is the Aspen Rotary Club involved in this too?
They have become involved, but it began with a gentleman by the name of Joe Sean from Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, and he had been to Meru on a different trip and had recognized the need for water there but wasn't sure how to go about making it happen. And then he heard about what we were doing through some other related partners, and he contacted us and said, can we talk about a way to combine our efforts? And we said, yes, absolutely. And so it's been a beautiful partnership in that we had the contacts and some of the expertise, as it appears, and we had already been doing clean water projects in several different schools, but through Joe, he was able to rally a number of other Rotary clubs and other faith-based groups to donate money. So we had a pile of money that then we could be matched. So some of it was matched from his district, and then all of that was matched from Rotary International, and that greatly expanded our ability to do work. So we're in the middle of a 3-year project to do clean water systems and WASH education and training in 70 schools. To date, we've done about 56, so we have about 16 more to do, and then we'll see where we go from there. But what's also been a big part of it is the sustainability portion of it. And through Isaac and his expertise, we've trained a number of volunteers, community health worker volunteers, who now help us with the follow-up. And they visit each school 3 times a year to do a survey and make sure everything's working properly, that the people understand, that the water still looks good, that the training is continuous, the parents are trained, the teachers and the students. And that's keeping track of the projects. In addition, we're tracking attendance and health and academic scoring on their national exams, and we're beginning to see huge improvement in all of that. And so that then benefits education, and then that gives a brighter future for the students. They're healthier, they're in class longer, and they feel better, and they're doing better on their academic scores.
Isaac, I want to go back to you and your education. Now, I have a picture of you as a child walking with the jerry cans to get water in the morning, I suppose, before school starts. Did you go to school in your village 5 days a week or so, or how did your schooling happen?
Yeah, you'll be surprised. I used to walk almost 6 kilometers in primary school, back and forth. That's 12 kilometers. And when I was in lower classes, that is class 1, 2, 3, when you go to school with containers, because when you come home at lunchtime, this is at around 1, you need to come with water. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went to the upper classes. This is from class 4 to class 8. Doing almost the same. So in the evening, I'll come back with 10 liters of water in my bag, at the back.
And that's always, just for your family?
Yeah, me and my brothers and my sisters will do this. So it's like no more routine.
Okay.
So, and from there, actually I performed very well academically. I topped the whole division of around 46 schools. And I went to high school. My mom, I love her. she did just one of the best things. She took me to, I was actually admitted to a national school. Unfortunately, she couldn't raise the school fees. So it means I have to come back home. I realized that I'll lose focus of education. So I told my mom, why can't we look for a closer school that is nearby, a day school? I'll always go walk.
And you can still
back and
help,
forth.
Help
yes, and I can help some work at home. Mm-hmm. So when I got Form 2, I had to start different ways of raising my own school fees. And I play soccer. So I could play for other soccer teams around, and they'll pay me some little cash, support my mom to pay my school fees. In high school, from Form 2 to Form 4, these are 3-year course, I'll walk 9 kilometers. Back and forth, that is 18 kilometers every day. And on Saturday, I'll support my mom back at home, just making sure I take care of my sibling, my mom going to the market to sell vegetables. So I went through that process. And then from there, I finished my Form 4, It's like 12th grade. Mm-hmm. And there is no hope of joining college because I understand my background. My mom can't afford that, right?
Right.
So I don't know what happened. It's by grace sometimes. And I tend to think like it's a favor from God that opportunities just pops out. So I joined a college. I did logistics management diploma. How I paid school fees, nobody knows. It's through soccer. It's one of the best things. I like talking about it. And also well-wishers. You know, the good thing is like when you're a bright student, you'll always come across some opportunities. So I presented a paper on different strategies on how to cut down cost in a company that is one of the best companies we have in Kenya, Bamburi. It makes manufacture cement, and they paid for my school fees for almost 2 years, which was good.
But you saved them a bunch of money.
Yes, because it was conditional kind of support that they are going to adopt my paper, and therefore they'll pay my school fees. Mm. So from there, I went to Uganda for 2 years to do business administration, bachelor in business administration. That's my first degree. And then later on, in between there, anytime I'll be at home, I'll volunteer to teach in secondary school. I'm gifted in languages, so I'll teach Swahili from Form 1 to Form 4, the whole school, and also coach in soccer, of which I still do even today. And then from there, I got a job with Save the Children UK during and after post-election violence in Kenya. That was actually an eye-opener. That's when I started to experience the impact of supporting people in the community, either with money or without money. Why can't we take it to the next level of implementation? Now, that's how we started actually running water, getting into the ground and starting to do the work. And actually, from there, that's how we started now, through the trainings of water, sanitation, and hygiene trainings that I attended. I organized for one, Forecast, and invited many organizations. Through partners that we have, this is Aqua Clara International, they asked my friends, how can we work with Isaac? They needed that permission from the two ladies in US. And they asked me, are you willing to work for them? I said, yes, I am willing to work for them because I have a desire of going back to study. So I went back and started to study Bachelor of Science in Community Development, which has been, I felt that is the right path that I'm taking because it's what I'm doing. And therefore, studying that will not be a problem to me.
Did you complete that degree?
Actually, I'm completing it. Should be the fourth year. I'll be done by August this year.
And then what? What's next for you?
Yeah, from there, I'm planning to do master's. I'm still looking for opportunities for scholarship and as well as making the company grow, developing new networks.
Aqua Clara or Running Water?
No, Running Water. I moved from Aqua Clara in 2013.
Okay.
And now that's when we came into contact with Rotary International. And I was doing the small projects that was being funded by PIC. And when Rotary International came on board, I felt it needed more attention than what I was doing previously. So I had to quit working with Aqua Clara International and moved to Running Water full time.
And what are you doing in the United States?
I was attending a Rotary International WASH Symposium conference that was held in Denver on 18th and 19th, but also visiting some partners who have been supporting the program in Kenya. Also learning, my main objective of coming to US was three. One was to share my knowledge and experience. Two was to learn. We have, you know, America is somehow advanced when it comes to technology. We have some of the knowledge that we can borrow from US and back home, maybe through observation and seeing how things are done. And three was actually to develop network. Can we have more people who are willing to support the program coming on board through sharing of what we are doing on the ground?
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Carolyn Heldman. My guests today are Debbie Weldon. She's a founder of PEAK, Partnering in Education and Aid for Kenya, along with the previous pastor of the Aspen Community Church and a member of the PEAK group, Jane Keener Quiet, and Isaac Soita. He's the executive director of Running Water International, based in Nakuru, Kenya. In full disclosure, Debbie Weldon is the underwriting sales director at Aspen Public Radio. Debbie, how can people here get involved or learn more?
There are a number of different ways. You asked earlier if the Aspen Rotary has participated, and they were brought in when we got this partnership going with Joe Sean and the Scotts Bluff Rotary. So they've been participating, and we hope that they'll continue. They've donated to the matching funds over the last couple of years. The best approach would be to go to our website, which is aidforkenya.org, and they can reach me through that. This symposium was the beginning of an effort to expand clean water work throughout all of Kenya. They have a 10-year goal to have at least 5 schools in every county, of which there are 47 in Kenya. That would be pilot schools where clean water would be installed, and then over the course of hopefully not too much longer than that, clean water systems in schools all over the whole country. And they're looking for partners. They're looking for other Rotary groups, other NGOs, other academic institutions, because their major overall broad comprehensive goal is not only to provide wash and clean water, but also an opportunity for young people who maybe haven't had a chance to go to high school or college to attend academic institutions, take classes, get training in wash, and have a future employment in that, which then solves the problem of something like 50% of young people in Kenya at ages 15 to 35 don't have employment. And if they have something that they can do, it not only will benefit everybody through clean water, but it will provide a future for people, and they won't be targets for terrorism or terrorist recruiters. And it can just really make a huge, huge impact for the country.
Isaac, do you have any aspirations to run for political office?
I would desire to see change in the community, but you cannot make that change when you are outside. A player, a spectator cannot make any change in the field unless he's inside the field. So sometimes, yes, to some point, I'll feel like I may need to get in and maybe have this great impact through sharing of what we are doing, and also maybe pushing in policies of the government that are there that are never implemented.
Are there trips, Jane, every year, and when is the next one?
We've had trips about every 2 years, and that was, you know, the opportunity I took. But you know what that did for me? We think we are aware of water, living in Colorado especially. But I have become so much more aware of the practical things that we don't think about that much. You know, when Isaac will talk about walking to get the water, and we know that many children do that, and they still do that, even with the clean water they can get at the schools now. But to observe and to listen to Isaac teach the families about how to use the water, how to take care of the sanitation needs. If you've lived in a place where you really didn't even have the luxury of thinking about that too much, it's a whole new world. With these projects, which I just feel very fortunate to have been able to be involved with a little bit, has really opened my eyes to this world of water.
We have been taking teams at least every 2 years, sometimes every year, since 2010, and I'm sure we'll be going back. So anyone who's interested can find out more information on our website, aidforkenya.org. It's likely that we will have a team going back in January of 2017.
Debbie Weldon, Jane Keener-Quiet, and Isaac Soita, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.